So hi, Will and the Grown Eyes Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with
Ash Costello from New Year's Day.
I asked her some questions today about their upcoming album, Half Black Heart. So congrats on that, by the way. How do you feel about the response to the announcement so far?
I think people were really ready for new music from us. Our last album was before COVID, and that feels like a whole nother lifetime. So it almost feels like it doesn't count. So we're all excited for this new chapter.
It's been a long time coming, patiently waiting for very long, and I'm just stoked it's here. The record's awesome.
Oh, it
Thank
rocks.
You.
Yeah.
You guys are like the third people that have heard it outside of our camp, so I'm always really excited to hear what people think about it. So thank you.
Hell yeah. And Hell caught yeah. you guys on the Ice Nine Kills and In This Moment tour, and the new song Sound Great Live as well. So stoked all thank around you. For this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. We're very stoked too.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. So is there any meaning behind the album title or cover art?
Yes. I obviously love red and black, and I've always felt like I've had half red and half black heart. You know, I've had this hair for almost 15 years now, which I don't even know how I still have hair on the side because I bleached it for so long. But there wasn't ever really a plan when I did it. It wasn't, you know, someday I'm going to be in this big band and it's going to be like kind of our thing. It was just, I wanted to do it because I really like the two colors, and I've just it's kind of adopted a life of its own, and now I feel like is the right time to kind of adopt it more into the band.
Gotcha. Makes sure. sense.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for the album?
Yeah. So you know how like some people during COVID, like some bands wrote their COVID masterpiece and wrote like these incredible albums? Well, we didn't do that. We took 2 years off and did nothing. We had nothing, which was much needed, because New Year's Day was very fortunate to start kind of exploding on the scene a couple of years before COVID. And we really started to gain some traction as a band to be respected among our peers, you know, after years and years and years of kind of clawing our way in. And unfortunately, Unbreakable, our last album, came out right before COVID, and it lost its momentum. But I was so burnt out. You know, I was so burnt out. We were touring nonstop for almost 3 years, longer than that touring, but like nonstop for 3 years. Yeah. And we had tours in Australia and Europe and UK and US planned, and it all got canceled. And I remember thinking like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Cause I was just so tired. And so, I don't think I could have written any more music had we not taken this break and lived some life. So, we took some time off, and when I felt like I was ready, you know, the label was really supportive. And when I felt like I was ready, I casually got back into the studio and casually started writing and didn't give myself any rules or like limitations. I just wrote whatever felt like wanted to come out and took it from there.
Absolutely. And it feels like just the band's comeback post COVID has kind of been like very natural and very like progressive in getting into it. Cause you guys, a lot of bands just hit the ground running as soon as the gates open, and you guys didn't do that. It was just like very gradual. The touring started slowly, and now you guys are building into it now.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. There were bands that were touring for like a solid year before we even got back out there. And we just like, I always felt so rushed. Before, it was always like you get 1 month to make a record, then you've got to get back out on these tours, and then you know you get 2 days to make a music video, and it just felt so rushed before. So I took advantage of the fact that it didn't need to be rushed this time, and I could take my time and make sure I was really happy with it. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, this is the first album where I feel like every single word, every guitar riff, every structural change, every transition, like nothing got past me this time. Like if I wasn't happy with it, we took the time to make sure I was happy.
That's awesome. And it's awesome that like a band like your band is able to have an experience with that so many albums in, because typically you only get that with the debut, and then it's all bets are off. You got 2 months in the studio, that's it, you know.
Yeah, it does feel like we're getting a fresh start.
It's awesome.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
So what song off this album took longest to write, and which one is your personal favorite?
My personal favorite is Vampire. I love that song. Mm-hmm. That riff is so fun, and it's so catchy, and I just love the message of the song, and the lyrics are my favorite, and that song was the easiest. It came together in a day, which is really weird. And then the song that took the longest, probably I Still Believe, was the first song we wrote after COVID and back into the studio. Mm-hmm. And I remember the producer, who I've been working with for 6 or 7 years now, His name is Scott Stevens, and he does, Shine Down, Hailstorm, In This Moment, Scott Stapp, Daughtry. I mean, all your favorites. And he goes, "How do you feel?" I was like, "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with this band, with my career at this point. And I don't really see where the path is taking me, but I still believe in it." And he was like, "That's it." So we wrote the whole song around that. But we messed with it for a good probably 2 years until we landed in a spot where we're like, "Okay, this song's done."
And at
So
what?
what?
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, so you say you mess with it for 2 years. So was that like a consistent, we're gonna pull this out every week and kind of check on it? Or was it kind of like a, we're gonna place it down kind of whenever we remember about it, and then we're gonna pick it back up? So like
That's kind
what?
of how we write usually. We'll set it down, and when the mood strikes us and we remember it, we'll get back into it until the end of the process when there actually is a deadline. They're like, "Okay, you need to wrap it up." Okay.
Gotcha.
Heard.
So how did the track list of the album come about? Did you guys write the opener be the opener, close a bit closer, to shuffle around and see what fits? What was that process like?
We never really write with track listing in mind. We kind of write and pick the songs we love and then put them together like a puzzle to make them make sense. The only song we really went out of our way to write for the album was the song Half Black Heart, because I knew I wanted a song to go with the title of the album. So Half Black Heart was written around the concept of the album. But other than that, we kind of just wrote freely.
And then put it all together. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. So would you be able to tell us where your headspace is at while you're creating this record?
Well, I went through, like most artists, I'm sure would say the same thing, a lot of personal struggles in the past year. Was a really hard year, maybe the hardest year of my life, honestly. And thankfully, I'm very lucky where I have music and songwriting as an outlet. And I got a lot of my personal trials out on paper, and it was very therapeutic for me. And I kind of forced myself to be more honest than I'd ever been. Instead of kind of dancing around the meaning of songs, I just went right for it. Songs like Secrets and Enemy and Bulletproof are very, very, very honest songs about, a lot of fans want to know like what goes on in my relationships. And I don't know why my dating is such a hot topic for some people, but I always say, listen to the music. Like, all the answers are in the lyrics. It's all right there, plain as day.
And you mentioned like you at the band took a break and you just kind of casually got back in the studio. What was the turning point for you where it was like it's time to start working on New Year's Day?
Gosh, no one's asked me that so far, and I can't really pinpoint a moment. It was just so casual. It was so, let's just get into the studio when we feel like it. And so there wasn't really like a turning point. It was kind of more of a, all right, we've got four or five songs that we really like, and this is coming together. Maybe now is the time to start thinking about an album release date. And this album was supposed to come out last end of summer, but because of some things going on in my personal life, we had to push the album back a whole 6 months.
Oh wow.
Damn.
God damn.
Yeah. Life will do that.
Well, it's finally time. It'll be here in what, 2 months?
Well, I'm very the way I've always lived my life is I'm very one with the universe kind of person. I just kind of follow the universe's lead, and I never get mad at things changing. I feel like everything happens for a reason. So, if we pushed it back, I always thought that was just how it was meant to be.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Sure.
So how do you recommend your fans to listen to this album for the first time? Should do in the car with friends and dark with headphones on? Is it a workout album, party album? What do you personally recommend?
I think you should listen to it with headphones in your room alone.
Okay.
Okay,
And
hell
just
yeah.
kind of vibe. Just kind of vibe. And if you've been through some hard points in your recent, life, then I think you might relate to it. It might kind of give you a sense of belonging, in the sense of not having to go through what you went through alone. And that's what music always did for me. Whenever I heard a song, I was like, man, I love that I can relate to this because I went through this, and someone else is taking the words from my head and putting it on paper and giving me a perspective of strength when it comes to it. So I really hope that's what people get from it.
For
I love
sure.
that.
And how did you listen to this record for the first time, like in full?
Car, always car.
Okay.
Fuck yeah.
Always car. And I listen to our music all the time. Like, I just drove to California from Vegas for some errands, and I listened to our record all the way there and just jammed out to. I think it's a great record. I love it.
Hell
All
yeah. Love that.
right.
So this one should be super, super quick. Off the top of your head, I want you to describe this album for the listeners in three words. No more, no less.
Heavy, catchy, and meaningful.
That's
Damn
good. Oh yeah.
right.
yeah.
It's
And in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have while going through the album?
I think anger. I think anger. I'm going to be honest and say a little bit of resentment. You know, if you still have feelings of hurt and pain from going through something, which we all do, I don't think anyone's completely free of their past pain. I think it's a way to, it'll bring up resentment, but in a healthy way, maybe to work through it. And I get angry when I listen to some of the songs. I'm like, yeah, that's right, you know, and I get a little pissed off. So hopefully it's therapeutic in that way for people.
Hell yeah.
Love it. All right.
Yeah.
So, are you able to touch on any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this album, positive or negative?
There's a song on there called Unbreak My Heart. And that was a song that was birthed in the moment. I had the song title and I told the producer at the time, Mitch Marlowe, who I was working with, and I said, I have the song title and a song subject and I want to work backwards because I felt like I'd been through so much. Wouldn't it be nice if I could just reverse all the heartbreak and put it all back together and go back to before? And that song was pretty tough to write. It was a lot of banging our heads against the wall because it mattered so much to me what I was saying. And sometimes when the song isn't coming from the person's heart, you know, the songs always come from my heart, and our producers and our other band members care, but no one cares as much as you care, you know. I am very picky, and like most artists, probably the worst self-critic. So I just spent a lot of time making sure I love the words and rewriting it and rewriting it. And they got to the point where they're like, you know, you need to stop. And I said, I can't. I have to make sure this song, above all else, every word is exactly what I'm trying to say.
For sure. So, how do you not drive yourself insane doing that?
Oh, we do. We do. A lot of wine is drank at the end of the day, and a lot of cigarettes are smoked out of stress, and a lot of talks are had, and sometimes it can be high tension. You know, we had to have a couple talks in the studio where it's like, all right, let's bring down the edginess a little bit, and let's remember what we're doing and remember why we're doing it. And it's a lot of therapy. A lot of therapy goes into songwriting, especially when you're close with the people. I'm very close with our producers and our band members. Jeremy Valentine, our lead guitarist, wrote the record with me in Nashville in our studio. And you have to really support each other and be very comfortable to get the best work out of each other as you can. And thankfully, we're all at that point. We've all been working together almost a decade, all of us. So I feel like this was the first time where we nailed it.
For sure.
It's awesome. And
Hell yeah.
you mentioned you're picky because you're so close to these songs. Like, at what point do you know it's time to stop? Is it just like when it feels right for you, that's when you cut the cord, or
Never.
if you could keep working on this record and you didn't have to put it
Yes.
out, you'd keep doing
If I would still be songwriting for the record right now, if I could.
Fair
I'm
enough.
just, I love songwriting too. You know, it's so fun. So if I could still be doing it, I would.
Fair enough.
Sure.
So for this question, we want you to picture you're on tour, you're at a gas station for a rest stop. What is your snack of choice?
Ooh, that varies. That varies. But I try to be healthy. So I normally go for the truck stops that have like the packaged fruit or the pickles in the packages. Yeah, I always do like pickles or water, fruit. I know it's horrible. Coffee, always coffee, always truck stop coffee. Never chips. I try to stay away from candy unless it's a bad day. Then probably Junior Mints or Reese's Pieces or M&M's.
Fair enough. Indulge a little bit.
And with the pickles, do you get like the extra sour ones or like the spicy ones?
All kinds.
Oh,
All
okay. Just like
kinds.
depending on the
I don't
day?
pick any pickle out of my grocery bag.
Yeah.
All of them.
All of them. Hell
Yeah.
yeah. And on the topic of food, if the band was a dish, what dish would the band be and why?
I think we'd be like some sort of spicy meat lover's pizza. Yeah, like a meat lover's pizza, lots of spiciness, a little chunky, probably heavy. Yeah,
All right, that's
definitely
good.
spicy Italian.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
And for the last couple of questions, I'm going to shift completely away from music and go straight to death row.
Boom.
So if you're on death row, what would your last meal be with a drink?
My last meal? That's a horrible question. That's so tough. Oh, because I'm a foodie. Okay, if we're talking trash food, probably Taco Bell.
Ooh, okay.
If we're being real, if we're talking fancy, probably get Gordon Ramsay is my favorite. I love Gordon Ramsay.
Me too.
Probably
Yeah.
get him to do like his signature beef Wellington and sticky toffee pudding meal would be my last meal.
Yeah.
I'm very like, I'm in Vegas right now and there's like 40 different Gordon Ramsay restaurants and I want to try them all. Try all the
Yeah.
signature dish. I'm like obsessed with Gordon Ramsay. So yeah, probably something by Gordon Ramsay.
Hell yeah.
All right.
And then on the opposite side of the spectrum, what's your Taco Bell order?
Okay. Mexican pizza, double decker taco. Even though those don't exist anymore, I have them still make it. It turns into like a $7 taco because the sour cream is a dollar and the extra beans is a dollar and the whole thing is a. So by the time I'm done, they hate me and I end up with a $7 taco. But I d love the double decker tacos, they're the best. And then a side of nachos, probably with extra nacho cheese.
All right, that's all. Do you get like a what is it, Baja Blast or anything?
No, they don't have. I'm a Diet Dr. Pepper person and they don't have that. So I normally will go to McDonald's and get a Diet Dr. Pepper and then kind of round out the whole meal
Fair enough.
for because I'm
Sure.
a psycho. Hell yeah. Yeah.
So if you could live in one fictional world for a week, where would you live?
My God. Oh man, that's I gotta think of all my favorite fictional worlds now. Okay, not Middle Earth. Not Gotham City.
No.
No, all my favorite, all the fictional places I like are kind of dark. I don't want to
Yeah,
live in any
and
of them.
dangerous.
Yeah,
Yeah.
not Bowser's Castle. Shoot, not not Star Wars. You know, not
Oh.
Tatooine or something. That's a really hard question. A fictional world. Can I live in like Toontown
Yeah. Hell
with
yeah.
Mickey Mouse? Okay, I'll
Yeah.
live in Toontown.
All right,
Hell
solid
yeah, good
answer.
pick. Okay, solid answer.
and I've done of asking the last question. Every single person that we've spoken to have said that it is the most important question. What's your favorite color?
Black.
Damn right.
I
All right.
figured it was kind of obvious based on the hair,
Yeah.
but we ask
It was a
everybody.
50-50
Yeah.
shot, you
Black
know?
with red as a close runner-up.
All right.
There you
We'll
go.
take it. So as I said, that's all the questions we have today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
I just hope that everyone goes out and pre-saves the record. Our pre-save link is in our Instagram bio. And check out all of our music videos. I love our music videos. They're so gory and bloody and fun. So go check those out. And we're going to be on tour this May with Lacuna Coil, my fellow Italian sister. And if you're near any of those dates, come party with us.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, thank you for now. It's been Ash from New Year's Day, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.